When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Many years ago, this candle blessed our family with a miracle. Our house, our casita, came to life with magic.
Hola, casita.
Floors! Drawers! Let's go!
In time, every member of our family,
Cecilia, up top,
was given their own magical gift.
I'm not super strong like Luisa.
The donkey's got out again.
On it!
Or effortlessly perfect like Señorita Perfecta Isabella. But Mama, why am I the only one that didn't get a gift?
You're just as special as anyone else in this family.
Casita? What's going on?
The magic is in danger.
We must protect our home. We must protect our family.
This is my chance. I will save the magic.
Wait, how do I save the magic?
Even in our darkest moments, there's light where you least expect it.
Welcome to our holiday episode of Behind the Screen, where we'll be talking about Disney's new animated musical, Encanto. Joining us to talk about the movie, a Columbia set story that follows a magical family, the Madrigals, are directors Byron Howard and Jared Bush, co-director Charisse Castro-Smith, and songwriter Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm Carolyn Giardina. Welcome to the Hollywood Reporter's Behind the Screen.
So congratulations on Encanto.
Thank you so much.
Byron, why don't you start us off? Your musical is set in Colombia, and I know you started talking with Lin from prior collaborations on Moana. How did the project come together?
Yeah, no, it's incredible. About 5 years ago, almost the week, we started talking to Lin about the potential of doing a musical together. He and Jared had just come off of Moana together, and they had a great collaboration on that film. We were very excited to do a movie about an extended family. And I think Lin was you're a fool to take on that task. Lin is such a complicated thing. You did a beautiful job, but it was a big ask because we have 12 main characters. And also this idea that Lin had wanted to do a musical set in Latin America, but the question was where to set it because the region is huge. But everything started to point to Colombia being the crossroads of everything in Latin America, culture, diversity, music, food, and traditions. And so that's where we actually went together about 3.5 years ago, which was an incredible experience with us on that trip.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that was one of the huge luxuries at Disney Animation is that the research is so important. And this has really been 5 years of learning for us. But that trip especially was critical. Because you really get off the beaten path. I think everywhere we went, there was music. Like, you couldn't go anywhere and not hear music and a lot of different types of music. And we got to spend a lot of time with Colombian families in all sorts of settings, whether it was a giant city like Bogota or a tiny little town like Barichara. So I think that what we really felt like there's this vibe that we were honestly desperate to try to capture because we had such a phenomenal time The people we met there were so welcoming and really became our partners with this movie from that day forward. So it's honestly been a great partnership with everybody that we met down there.
And magical realism is a big part of it. Charisse, do you want to explain that concept?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we were really heavily inspired by magical realism in this film. I think we sort of had to sort of crack our own working definition of what that meant for us. And I think where we landed, and we were supported so extraordinarily well by Lin-Manuel's music, was that in our movie, magic is born out of emotion, out of character, out of relationship, that it's not sort of this like external force that is foisted upon people, that it's really born out of need and emotion. And so we really tried to sort of carry that throughout the film and all the choices that we made, our each individual family member has a gift that is born out of their character traits, out of sort of their role in the family. So we tried to carry that thread throughout the entire film.
Lynn, would you talk about your inspirations for the style of music, which I understand some of this came from the research trip?
Yeah, 100%. Well, first of all, Byron said it exactly right. I mean, the challenge of getting a family all the way on screen, an intergenerational family, the three generations that all live under one roof, is a big one. But that was also the most exciting thing because, our families are the folks we know the longest, and sometimes they're the folks we know the least. And exploring not just a mother-daughter relationship, but those relationships with our cousins and our uncles and our grandparents and the way we are different around different members of our family. All of that was just exciting musical material. And I found that, I think the research into Colombia and the trip to Colombia, what we invariably found was the more we leaned into what makes Colombia distinct, the more we would unlock story or find sharper details or clearer storylines. To give you an example from my department, from the music department, the hardest thing in the world to write is a Disney I Want song, because there's such an incredible legacy of it. I'm talking to you and I'm looking at my clamshell cases for Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. I have nowhere to play these VHS cassettes, but I still have them. These are mine. And, it's an intimidating legacy. And so what finally unlocked it for me was actually going back to our research trip and listening to so many of the bambucos we heard on that trip, which is a Colombian waltz. It's in 3/4 time. And I had to get that idea of the anthemic Disney pop song out of my head. No, we're writing a waltz. And that's the rhythm for this moment, because Mirabel is so out of step with the rest of her family in this moment and so it only makes sense that she's rhythmically in a completely different place. And once I leaned into that sort of folk form, it kind of wrote itself.
Let's listen to that one.
I'd say honestly that song was one of the trickiest ones, honestly, because I think Lynn, you've talked about it. Mirabel is a very interesting character. She's not like any other Disney heroine we put on screen before. She's very flawed. She has these insecurities, but she has this big heart. And this song is really talking about her wanting to feel seen by her family and to make these connections, which is very unusual for one of these stories. And I think we really had to understand Mirabel's entire journey to really understand, what that song needed to do.
Yeah, what is the question the song is asking is always the toughest one to answer.
Was this one of the first ones or one of the last ones that was written?
One of the last ones. By a long shot. And probably the one that went through the most drafts. You know, the first song I wrote for this movie was The Family Madrigal. And it was before we had a second or third act. But I think we all understood, if we don't understand how everyone's related and like what their gifts are, we're going to be very confused for 90 minutes. So, you know, I sort of, you know, did my first entry on the cork board with that song, knowing that the characters' names might change, their powers might change through the development process. We know that we need a Beauty and the Beast type intro. You know, I think Belle is the gold standard of Disney opening numbers. And by the end of Belle, you know who Belle is, you know all the townspeople, Marie, the baguettes, hurry up. And you know how everyone feels about each other. And so that was the challenge with this family. Let's start with Abuela. Let's talk about her kids. Let's talk about who they married. Let's talk about my cousins and my sisters. And Mirabelle, what do you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know we were going to talk about that. I don't really want to talk about that. So that was sort of the delicious turn we found, even in that first draft.
We wanted to give a huge shout out to Stephanie Beatriz, who just performs the heck out of that song. Like, she is unbelievable and incredible as Mirabelle, and she's so vulnerable and funny and self-effacing, and she was the perfect Mirabelle when we found her. And Lynn's songs are incredibly complex and challenging and beautiful and soaring and angsty and wonderful, and all the different shades that he found in the music. Stephanie, I think, who's known Lynn for a long time, she just met every challenge, even when she was very, very pregnant. Like, I believe when she was singing Mirabelle's song, she was very close to
going in to deliver. She was singing Waiting on a Miracle while she was waiting on a miracle. and I think she had the baby about 2 weeks after. She had her beautiful daughter 2 weeks after. 1 week.
One day. It was one day. When she finished the last thing she recorded. She went, I'm going to leave and have a baby, and did.
Yeah, it was that high note.
Yeah.
That did it. She didn't have to wait long for that.
Yeah.
Well, we have Family Madrigal queued up. Would one of you like to introduce that song?
Like Lynn was saying, this is like the welcome to our town, welcome to the family, meet 12 people in quick succession and somehow understand who they all are song. So, and there's a super fast, really amazing accordion part too. So this is the Family Madrigal song.
Maybe the fastest song in Disney history. Here you go.
This is our home. We've got every generation so full of music, a rhythm of its own design. This is my family, a perfect constellation. So many stars and everybody gets to shine. Whoa, let's be clear, Abuela runs this show. Whoa, she led us here so many years ago. Whoa, and every year our family blessings grow. There's just a lot you simply got to know. So, welcome to the family, Madrigal. The home of the family, Madrigal. We're on our way, where all the people are fantastical and magical. I'm part of the family, Madrigal.
The next one we're going to listen to is Surface Pressure, which is a song from Luisa, voiced by Jessica Darrow, who is one of the sisters who's been gifted with great strength. And she sings about the high expectations and pressure that she feels. Lynn, would you talk about the style as well as the theme?
Yeah, 100%. Again, being there from the beginning of the journey also allowed so much give and take with our fellow artists, our co-writers, and our animation department. And when I saw the drawing for Luisa and how strong and gorgeous she was, I was like, well, she has to have the toughest beat in the history of Disney. But also, we also have to understand that toughness and that indestructibility she projects is protecting an incredible vulnerability and an incredible sensitivity. And so I sort of think of this as my love letter / apology to older siblings everywhere. You get a raw deal. I was a baby of my family. I'm the baby brother. I have a sister who's 6 years older. I got away with stuff she couldn't get away with. My parents were paying less attention by the time I came around, you know, and so I really thought about my older sister a lot, who is simultaneously the toughest member of my family and like cries at trailers to movies, not sad endings to movies, the trailers themselves. So she's the toughest and most sensitive member of my family. And it was very easy to write lyrics like, give it to your sister. Your sister's older. Give her all the heavy things you can't shoulder. I remember a Christmas. I didn't hear about this till years later. I remember a Christmas when my parents woke my sister up early to put together the He-Man playset so that when I woke up, it would be fully assembled. That sucks. That's so unfair. So it was this and many more stories like it that kind of informed the genesis of Surface Pressure.
Under the surface, I feel berserk as a tightrope walker in a three-ring circus. Under the surface, was Hercules ever like, yo, I don't wanna fight Cerberus? Under the surface, I'm pretty sure I'm worthless if I can be of service. A flaw or a crack, the straw in the stack that breaks the camel's back. What breaks the camel's back? It's like a drip, drip, drip that'll never stop. Whoa, pressure that'll tip, tip, tip till you just go pop. Oh, give it to your sister, your sister's older. Give her all the heavy things we can't shoulder. Who am I if I can't run with the ball? If I fall to pressure like a drip, 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 then it won't let go. Whoa, pressure like a tick, tick, tick till it's ready to blow. Whoa, give it to your sister's
drunk. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So in the film, they live in a magical house, which is really a character unto itself. Would you talk about the style of the house and some of the inspirations?
Oh, sure. So one of the first ideas that we actually pitched in very, very early years ago was this idea that not only was this extended family living in a home, but the home itself could be a character. Because we always ask ourselves, like, why is this film animated? Why is it not live action? And our animators, once they heard that idea, went bananas. It is a dream come true for animators to have something that doesn't have a face or hands or anything to express itself. And then the challenge was we really wanted to be true to the materials that we saw in Colombia. We went to many different places. We went to Cartagena and Bogota and Barichara, little tiny towns in the country. Cartagena, that had a tower. There was a tower in one house that was meant to look out over the horizon to see pirates approaching. So we thought Bruno, this person who could see the future and predict the safety or demise of his family, being in a tower felt very at home. And we also tried to kind of merge a lot of these architectural styles to be true to the differences that we found in Colombia, because the family itself is different. So you'll actually see the houses sort of color coded by their costume, like who's who and what part of the house they inhabit. Pepa's tower with Felix actually has a cloud hanging over it all the time, or rainbows, if she's happy. But it's the house was very early on, like this concept. And also because this is a musical big time, musicalizing the house was a great challenge as well, and folding that into a way to incorporate an affection for the family.
Early on, we knew that this whole movie was going to take place in this home. But we'd just been to Colombia. We'd spoken to many of our friends, and Colombia is vast. It's like a third the size of the United States. It's, a lot of times it's considered five countries in one. And we're like, but we need to see other parts of Colombia. How are we going to do it? So the idea that within this magical house, that if you were a magically gifted member of this family, that you'd have this room where you could use your magical gift made a lot of sense. And that these rooms would be enormous, but also really leverage some of the amazing regions of Colombia in that made a lot of sense to us. So I think to me, the most wish fulfillment room is Antonio's room, which is based on the Choco rainforest. This is the member of the family who gains the ability to communicate with animals, and Colombia has the most biodiversity of any country on the planet. It's unbelievable. I think there's like 100 species of just hummingbirds. And so we knew in this room, we wanted to really get a sense of the amazing flora and fauna of Colombia. Also the wish fulfillment that any kid would have of having this room that is this rainforest paradise, but also be very specific to region. Even the music that you hear within the room itself is very specific to region. So we love the idea that you'd have, yes, it's in this one house, but there's these moments where it becomes incredibly expansive and also brings in a lot of what we loved in Colombia.
And one of the characters in there is voiced by your lucky charm, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, of course.
That's true. Yeah.
There can never be a movie without Alan Tudyk.
He's our tradition now. And he's really up to it. You know, I was so impressed by him because he does his research. He comes in and he talks to us about the biology of toucans and about different species of toucans. He's like, I don't know about this squawk. I think it's this squawk.
Oh, he did.
And they tend to chatter and they're not resonant. It's sort of sharp, like tick, tick, tick. So he's very, very method in his bird portrayals. He set a good precedent in Moana with that chicken.
Yeah, that was a real treat. By the way, he recorded for like hours for the toucan. It wasn't like, oh, come in for like 3 minutes to do a couple toucan noises. He was in it. And we had full-on conversations like, okay, absolutely. We're like, what is Mita Bell thinking here? Okay, I will now respond as toucan. And he went real deep on it. And that's why I love Alan.
Now, Bruno is the mysterious brother who disappeared, voiced by John Leguizamo. And there's a song about him called We Don't Talk About Bruno, which I have to say, since I've heard it, I have not been able to get that song out of my head. It's so catchy. Lynn, tell us about the style for that one.
Sure. I was so excited to write a group number in the middle of this movie. I think, if you're trying to wrestle a family to the screen, you need to talk about, you need a gossip number. And the exciting thing of like what we can talk about at a dinner table versus what we talk about in the kitchen later after certain people have left the room. So much of Mirabelle's journey, I think, is relatable to younger siblings who don't know the invisible tripwires of their family yet. We can talk about this, but not with Abuela in the room. Why doesn't that uncle talk to that cousin? What happened before I was born? And so much of Mirabelle's journey is a version of a journey we go on as youngest siblings. But the other exciting thing about We Don't Talk About Bruno is that it allows us to find themes and voices for characters who might not necessarily get their own song. So we get to hear how Dolores expresses herself to the world. We get to hear how Camilo sings, and through their particular lens of how they talk about Bruno. And so it was a joy to discover that Dolores actually has the most nuance because her gift is supersonic hearing. And so she hears everyone's perspective on everything all the time and she can't turn it off. And I was really inspired by something you don't see in Disney musicals a lot, but you see in musicals a lot, which is like that great end of act one number. I was thinking of A Weekend in the Country from A Little Night Music. I was thinking of And It's Beginning to Snow from Rent, One Day More from Les Mis, where you kind of hear where everyone's at and then you crash all the themes together at the end. And that was enormously exciting because what animation can do is take that and take it to the next level. And what the animators were inspired by and the incredible choreographers were our collaborators on this as well, like to see the way Dolores moves versus Pepa and Uncle Felix was just so exciting. And it was really an incredible collaboration putting that beast together.
We don't talk about Bruno. Talk about Bruno, but it was my wedding day.
It was our wedding day.
We were getting ready, and there wasn't a cloud in the sky.
No clouds allowed in the sky.
Bruno walks in with a mischievous grin.
Thunder,
you're telling the story, or am I?
I'm sorry, mi vida, go on.
Bruno says it looks like rain.
Where's the heat tell us? Abuela gets the umbrella.
Married in a hurricane.
What a joyous day, but anyway,
we don't talk about.
Now, the name Bruno works so well in that song. Curious, did you already have the name and then you wrote the song to the name, or was it the other way around?
We had the name first. I don't think that was his first name.
No, his first name was Oscar, and we had to change it. And I remember having here's four or five names. I've texted you, Lynn. Here's four or five names. And you were like, Bruno, Bruno. And I was like, I wonder why he went Bruno. And then I think the next week it was Bruno. No, no, no. And I was like, got it. Okay.
Yeah. To blow with the no at the end of his name was really quite a delicious gift. Yeah.
One last thing I like about this song. It was a remarkable moment for the three of us because we had our Friday night music calls with Lynn, which is 6 p.m. our time, 9 o'clock his time. And we were all talking about the concept of the We Don't Talk About Bruno song and sort of a ghost story, this gossipy kind of dark, intriguing thing. And Lynn literally said, I think it's like a spooky Montuno. And he goes, he turns screenwriting and he goes, bum, bum, bum. So he literally wrote the first part of the song in front of our eyes. And then it was literally a couple days later, he emails us. And it's just like you said, it is the most earwormy, awesome, kind of catchy thing. And it's been in our heads for years now. And it is so great. But that was, I don't think many people get to see Lynn compose live, but that was a pretty remarkable
So tell us about recording these songs. Was this before the pandemic or were you doing this remotely?
Oh, this was all remote. I mean, the entire production of this movie was done once the pandemic started and we were all separated. So I think for a song like We Don't Talk About Bruno, which is the entire cast, that was really difficult because we weren't recording in one studio in Burbank. It was Burbank and New York and Columbia and Orlando. It was all over the place. So it was a huge credit to the entire music team that makes it feel like, oh, everyone is there and interacting with each other. I think that was one of the really exciting things is the first time we heard that song with all the actual actors singing all their parts, it super came to life in a way that I don't think any of us could have expected.
Now, I have to say, I also really appreciated the dancing.
Yeah, that's incredible.
You had a choreographer, correct?
Yes, Jamal Sims is our choreographer.
Tell us about working with the animators to make that come to life.
Well, you know, Jamal is a fantastic choreographer. We've seen his work, and it's always so full of energy and storytelling. And Kai Martinez is our Colombian dance consultant who worked very closely with Jamal. And honestly, the story, we would just sort of empower Jamal to take a look at what Lynn had written, the story needs. We would do some storyboards, but we kind of gave him a lot of power to kind of just go and shoot something. And he I think for the We Don't Talk About Bruno sequence, he did it in one shot.
He filmed the most elaborate musical numbers
during COVID. So he had dancers in masks. We kind of know who was, okay, that's Mirabel. That's Felix, that's Peppa, but all within a soundstage and just kind of moving that camera around. And then our cinematographers worked with him and Kai to kind of get these elaborate moving cameras and also to land those very specific Colombian dance moves. And they're all based, it's not just like rubber stamping the moves from one character to another. Like we have different body types. Like Peppa is a full head and a half higher, taller than Felix. So they have to think about the physicality of that. But it is just like this beautiful tapestry when it's all woven together. And when you see it in the finished film, it's pretty great. So we owe them a huge amount.
Yeah, by the way, I'll say, the first time we saw it, that was the first song we saw the choreography for was We Don't Talk About Bruno. I straight up cried when I saw it because I did not know what would be capable. And seeing that, knowing how different it was, we haven't really tried to do that in animation before, that level of choreography, that number of people. And I remember thinking, I don't know how many songs we have Jamal and Kai for, but we kind of would like them on every single song because it was just so stunning to see it for the first time.
Yeah, there's a scene at the dinner table, and this was I didn't envy the animator who got it, but he did a magnificent job. It's where Lynn started to weave together all of those parts over top of each other. Yeah. So it's this amazing basket, kind of just everything is just on top of each other. And they're tossing glasses to each other and putting down plates. But honestly, the animators just really got into it. The harder the scenes were, the more they loved it. I think they just really, it shows. I just there's so much. And even the bridge, I won't spoil it, but the bridge where Isabella comes in, classic. It's so funny.
So good.
It's so perfect for Isabella. So good.
Did all of you learn these dances during the production?
I can only do the Dolores one. It's a heavy gift with it.
Oh wow,
that was a really good shot. That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Isabella's entrance in that song was the stickiest thing for me. You know, I write things that get stuck in people's heads, but I really couldn't shake Isabella's. And I sang it in that original key, which no one wants to hear me sing. But I was just walking around my house. He told me that the life of my dreams for weeks. I couldn't shake it.
Lynn, would you like to pick one more song, something that is particularly meaningful to you, and tell us about the genesis of it?
Sure. I mean, I think I'd love to talk about Dos Oruguitas, which is a song that comes near the end of the film, because I think it's the full circle of how much our collaboration and how much our work informed each other on this film. This was a song directly inspired by the visual exploration that this incredible team was already doing. I was inspired by, we were talking about this moment. It's a moment of where this painful foundational story of the madrigals is revealed to the audience for the first time. And in our conversation, I was like, well, you have that amazing candle flame that turns into a butterfly, and this cascade of butterflies kind of creates the miracle. Maybe there is a folk song that is every butterfly is a miracle. We've all read The Very Hungry Caterpillar to our children, and so I had the idea of writing a song, like a folk song with a nature metaphor at its center. It's these two caterpillars who are in love, and they don't want to let each other go, but they have to let each other go because that's the only way the miracle can happen and they can become their next self. And it felt like a really apt metaphor for what this family was going through. This family was not hurting each other because they hated each other. It's because they love each other and they don't know how to become the next version of themselves. And so, I wrote the song entirely in Spanish. Oruguitas is a much more beautiful word than caterpillars. I really went outside of my comfort zone, beyond my conversational fluency in Spanish to, reach for my thesaurus and go to a deeper place, with lyrics in Spanish that I'd never really written before. And I'm really proud of the way it sits in the film.
Dos oruguitas enamoradas pasan sus noches y madrugadas llenas de hambre, siguen andando y navegando un mundo que cambia y sigue cambiando, navegando un mundo que cambia y sigue cambiando. Dos oruguitas paran el viento mientras se abrazan con sentimiento. Siguen creciendo, no saben cuándo buscar algún rincón. El tiempo sigue cambiando, inseparables son. Y el tiempo sigue cambiando. Ay, oruguitas.
And as families go to see this film for Thanksgiving weekend, would each of you share what you hope people take away from it?
Oh, sure. You know, from the beginning, that this idea of perspective in your family was our true north, honestly, about how do you see your family and how does your family see you, and often what gets in the way of that. So honestly, the fact that things are opening back up and people are getting back together with their families, seeing this in the theater on a huge screen is, I think, going to be an incredible experience for a lot of people. It's a very joyful movie in a time when we don't have a lot of access to joy. So I think that's my hope, that people walk out of the theater seeing themselves in this film, seeing each other in this film.
Absolutely. I mean, Mirabel's name has the word mira in it, which means look, it's Spanish. And so I think one of the things I hope this film will do is encourage people to look at their family members, the people in their community, with empathy and with understanding. So that's what I hope for this movie.
Yeah, I'd say for me, Mirabel's story is one where she feels like the most ordinary, the least special member of this extraordinary family. And I think that I relate to her more than any other Disney character that I've ever worked on, because I feel like I'm constantly surrounded by amazing people. And it's really hard to it's really hard to find your own self-worth within that. It's a real struggle. But I think the journey that Mita Bell goes on is not only, yes, does she have intrinsic value? Of course she does. But these people around her that look like they have this fantastic life, that look like they have it all together, they don't. They have their own issues as well. So for me, that's a really important story to tell. I hope that people find themselves in that, and I hope that they look a little deeper.
Yeah, it's amazing when you can watch a film and then it directly inspires conversations afterwards. I remember, you know, going to see Inside Out and then talking to my kids about, like, all right, so who's got the controls? Is it sadness? Is it joy? And I think a similar conversation happens after Encanto. You know, all right, who is the family member that, like, you absolutely recognize, and what's unexpected about them? Because I think the hardest thing we can do is see our own families clearly. And that's an ongoing work as we grow, as we evolve, as we change. I remember seeing my sister become a mother for the first time, and now I'm an uncle, and now we have new jobs, and we have to grow into these new roles, even though we are still, I'm always her baby brother. And so allowing for the multiplicity of truths to be present in a family is our hardest work, and it's a life's work. And I think this will really inspire beautiful conversations about that.
Thank you all so much for taking the time to talk about the film, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.